I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com. I don't want to tell you the fun and games that Gero Novick and I have had in putting this interview together, but thank you for your patience. It's been incredible to actually go through the challenges of load shedding, just about going up and something knocks down. But Gero, we're not here to talk about load shedding and the bad news. You always see the glass half full. Can you see any half full glass in the aviation industry at the moment?
Yeah, very much so, actually. People are traveling again. They're getting tired of using technology exclusively and want to see each other face to face, which is a good thing. And in Europe at the moment, it's crazy, as you know, the massive resurgence of travel. So that's a good sign. People want to connect. People want to explore the beautiful planet that we live on. And air travel is a key part of that.
Now, from your perspective, I suppose it's bittersweet when you see opportunities, because if you think of the family business, Comair, that's where you started in aviation, because your dad was involved for how long?
50 years.
Wow. How's he feeling about the demise of Comair?
Well, he's not around anymore.
Okay.
Shame, he passed away 3 years ago and spent about two-thirds of his life in the business. And we spent, many years of our lives talking about the business and discussing it. It was an incredible time. But, so it's bittersweet. Part of launching Lyft was really figuring that the model needs to change. And there's a new, model. There's a new way of building an airline business. And that's the bet that we took a couple of years ago. So, obviously now there's a real opportunity to grow the business. And always ups and downs in this business, Alec.
Gideon, the industry itself, you have mentioned that Lyft came along 2 years ago. Had COVID not happened, would the opportunities be better or worse for your new airline? Before we get on to your other one, or your other one anyway, South African Airways, but let's just stay with Lyft for now.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have gotten back in, I don't think. I think COVID was the opportunity. It was, it was a time when there was, existing players were taking major strain. There were assets available at very good prices. Incredible skills available in the industry that we're looking for something to do. And I had a lot of time to think. So, it was just a confluence of factors and felt to me like opportunity for some kind of an industry reset, which has played itself out, particularly over the last month or so.
Comair, take us through that story when you left and what happened subsequent to that, because if I recall correctly, there might have been a different owner to the one who owned it into bankruptcy.
Yeah, so it's got obviously a very long history, a 75-year history, the business. My dad, as I said, was involved for 50 years. I was there for about 13 years. We left together about 10 years ago. At the time, it was, there were new shareholders, Bidvest was getting involved. There was a difference. We had a difference in view on strategy in the business, and it was time to move on. I was very excited to try other things. My dad was getting on in years and, wanted to spend more time with family. So, it was a fortunate time to leave the business, and I was actually happy to be out of the industry. It was it's a draining industry and incredibly interesting and challenging and exciting, but it's draining. So I was happy to be out, and then COVID came along and just the opportunity was too tempting to pass on.
With Comair?
Yeah, I mean the opportunity in the industry, given what was happening with Comair, they had gone into business rescue. Prior to that, they'd been under enormous pressure for a long time before COVID. Many, many factors. I mean, it's probably, a few hours of conversation and maybe some subjective views of things that went wrong and things that could have done better. I think with anything there's bad luck that comes your way as well as good luck. And then there's decisions that are made along the journey that, um, that in my view, at the end of the day, determine whether your likelihood of success is good or not. So yeah, so that was a long story. I don't know which part of it you want to chat about, but you know, there was a, you know, that company was in trouble long before COVID.
But when it was, when the new shareholders came in out of Business Rescue, or at least the attempt, which appeared as though Comair could get back on its feet, there appeared to be other bidders as well at that time.
Yeah, I think there were two bidders. I think Harith was one of them. Harith is the partner in the Takatsal Consortium on SAA. And then there was the Rescue, I think they called themselves the Rescue Consortium, who ended up taking ownership of the business.
And Harith is your partner in the new South African Airways. So yeah, they might have ended up with Comair had the cards been dealt differently then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's as you know well aware, that's still got some way to go in terms of the process, the agreement, a lot of conditions precedent. So, you know, in my view, that's still quite a journey, the SAA one. Our involvement in SAA is we are a minority shareholder in the consortium, the Takatsal Consortium. At this stage, we're not involved in the running of SAA at all. But, we'd love to help in some way going forward. But we've got to figure all of that out. We're so busy at the moment with Lyft and the opportunities that are being presented in the market that it's taking, just about all of our focus.
Just before we move off South African Airways, it does appear to be an enormous challenge if you and the Harith team, in other words, the Takatsal Consortium, are to take it over. You've been presented as the new chief executive, but talking with Miles van der Meulen of SEME this week, he was telling us that they move more passengers than SAA today with half the staff or under half the staff, which sounds to me like South African Airways will be a real mountain for whomever, and particularly for the chief executive yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I haven't put my hand up to run it. I actually don't think I'd be the best person to run it, regardless. But as minority shareholders, we're happy to help and happy to see how we could get more involved if it makes sense to. But as you say, it's very difficult to recalibrate an existing operation that's inefficient. It's much easier, as we did with Lyft, to start with a clean sheet in every respect, from an efficiency perspective to build, the right cost base from the start, from a people perspective to make sure that everybody that comes on board are the right people. And then probably most importantly, from a culture point of view, just to really set that culture from the start. And technology, by the way, legacy systems are very difficult to re-engineer, and technology is moving so fast that it really is easier to come in later and just leapfrog from a technology point of view.
So South African Airways is not a done deal by any means at this point.
Well, the deal's been signed and there's conditions precedent. I know there's a process going through the Competitions Commission. Harith are running with that. That's their responsibility, and as you know, the operation is up and running. So, which I think makes it quite difficult as well. As opposed to coming into something that's being restarted. SAA is up and running, but as Miles correctly says, it's a fairly small operation, and there would be a mountain of work to do. Absolutely.
Getting on to Lyft, it has been a success. I've flown it regularly. It seems to be full. You seem to be packing in the customers, and plenty of comfort. So no complaints there. But is with the demise of South African Airways and Comair, are you now expanding your frequency of the Joburg Cape Town route that you started with, and indeed looking at other routes?
Yeah, we will grow. I mean, the trick with the industry and where the industry's really kind of done itself in over the years is overcapacity. This crazy idea that you build capacity for the peak period. I was thinking of an analogy, with the new Top Gun movie. Imagine all the movie cinemas around the country geared up their capacity for the launch of Top Gun, which is a, I don't know, a 1 or 2 week event. And then, you know, the rest of the year, they've got to fill all those seats. So I think we as an industry make that mistake all too frequently by trying to create capacity that caters for the peak. So, you know, responsible capacity, I think, is critical for the industry, including ourselves. So, you know, just slow, steady growth, and also understanding the seasonality that we inevitably have. We have, you know, very strong summer months in South Africa, and then quite a big drop off over the winter period. So that's critical. The other major factor is the oil price. You know, the oil price being where it is makes air travel unaffordable to most people. And many people that could afford to fly, let's say a year ago, can't afford to fly. So the market size has reduced significantly. So you had, you know, COVID, big recovery, and now quite a big pullback just in terms of the affordability. Just to give you a sense, Alec, the a return flight to Cape Town, just, you know, just on a seat cost point of view, assuming we sell almost every seat on the flight, costs an airline, and we're a pretty efficient airline, about 3,000 Rand for that return flight. So if you're paying, you know, if you're paying less than 3,000 Rand, you must know somebody else is subsidizing your seat in some way.
That's interesting. Does this open up more opportunity perhaps for the business class passengers, because there's a lot of cheap and nasty going on at the moment?
So this is interesting because, again, traditionally, business class or business travelers traveling in economy class would pay more and subsidize leisure travelers. And so, you know, leisure traveler would take advantage of that and book ahead of time and get a really good deal. Now that business travel in particular is coming back slowly and is nowhere near where it was pre-COVID, there's a real question as to whether you're going to get this enough of this cross-subsidization between business travel and leisure travel. So you know, lots of dynamics in the industry that, you know, that we're having to adjust to in a completely new environment.
Where does Lyft stand if you were to look at SAFAir, which Fly SAFAir, which seems to be have taken the position that Mango and Kalula used to have in the past? In other words, low cost and very full, no frills. Where would you be in that spectrum? Would you maybe unpack that for us?
Yeah, I mean, in simple terms, we're a low-cost premium airline. So what does that mean? Is that low cost is, you know, is our cost base, which is kind of what's happening in the background and how we manage the business effectively. But the customer doesn't particularly care about that. They care about the price that we charge and the service that we offer. So the price must be competitive in order for us to be in the game. And then on the product side, that's where we've seen a real opportunity to create a premium product. And that, you know, that's everything from the actual experience on board and the incredible crew that we have who, you know, actually, you know, get joy out of serving people. It's like in their DNA, they like serving. It's part of their DNA, and things around it. You know, an onboard, a snack on board, a late afternoon drink, and then important things like flexibility. We picked up very early on, and I think our timing was fortunate during COVID, is that flexibility must be part and parcel of buying a flight ticket, the ability to change and cancel without being penalized, and the ability to do it seamlessly was something we put as our kind of core proposition right up front. And that's gone really well because, you know, even though most people actually don't change and don't cancel, they really value the fact that if they choose to or decide to, they have that option to change or cancel.
What about insurance against airlines going bankrupt? It's not a theoretical question anymore.
Yeah, it's such an important point, Alec. You know, this South Africans have really, if you look at the stats, it's close to about 10 airlines in the last 10 years have either gone bankrupt or gone into business rescue or, you know, disappeared in some way. And so, you know, people have just been left high and dry. Some have been able to claim back their ticket through their banks, their credit cards. But what we think is necessary is actually legislation that would require any prepaid ticket. And as you know, tickets are bought in advance of you actually traveling. should be protected. They should be in some kind of an escrow structure where if something happens to that airline, those passengers get their money back straight away. So we will be, we'll be working with the regulators to try and convince them that that's an important part of the industry. Because at the end of the day, what the industry needs is strong, sustainable competitors. You know, you need players that, you know, passengers can trust are going to be around. And if they screw up their business in some way, they are not funders of the business. They've just bought a ticket to travel to visit their relative somewhere in the country. They shouldn't be funding the cash flow of airlines.
I guess the surprise is that that isn't already law. It seems rather strange if you're paying for something up front and something happens to that company that you won't get your money back. But Gideon, how are you seeing this evolving, the airline industry in South Africa evolving in the years ahead?
Yeah, you know, South Africa's, it's not the best place to have an airline. You know, geographically, we're kind of on the southern tip of Africa. So if you compare us to, you know, for example, Ethiopia, which is, you know, very well placed, not only on the African continent, but almost on an east-west basis, is able to connect many points and many destinations. So we're quite limited down here. We have quite a robust market. I mean, in rand terms, the domestic market post-COVID will be worth about 20 billion rand. So it's a decent market. But, you know, the growth has to be up north, you know, not only in terms of services into continental Africa and destinations to our north, but also, you know, the skills and the infrastructure. Our kind of one of our core beliefs is that, you know, South Africa is incredibly has the resources, has the skills, has the infrastructure in many industries, aviation being one of them, and we can serve the continent with those capabilities. So our aspiration is to build a very strong, high quality. Doesn't have to be massive in scale, but has to be, you know, the highest quality that we can achieve, and to export those skills into the continent to build a viable, sustainable aviation sector, which, as you know, was massively impacted by COVID. And outside of a handful of airlines, you know, Ethiopian being the most impressive, there's very few, you know, sustainable, competent airlines on the continent.
But it appears the way the airline industry in South Africa is at the moment, leaving South African Airways out of it, that you've got canny operators who aren't going to slash themselves or slash prices in a race to the bottom. It almost feels a little more mature today than it was in the past. Is that an accurate thought?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think it's there's some really, really good operators. And I'm talking about our competitors, who are strong, they experienced, they well managed, and that's a good thing. I think just, you know, hopefully regulators are seeing the need for a sustainable industry with a handful of highly competent players, and that will be really good for the economy. It will be good for, you know, tourism is, you know, our golden goose that, you know, we've still not capitalized on. We still just getting such a tiny speck of global tourism, yet have the most incredible tourism offering in the world, as well as a weak currency, which makes it so affordable. So as well as this, you know, these incredible people that we have who just love serving people and have this South African warmth, which is unique in the world. So that's really, you know, I think what we want to support is a growing economy. It's definitely a massive growth in tourism. And a strong aviation industry is critical.
Gideon Novick, co-founder of Lyft Airline, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.